Hey, somebody praise the Lord in this place. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. Those of you that probably said, I don't remember him, but you do now. Because I'm loud. Hey, you know what? The best people in the whole world go to church on Sunday mornings. I'm going to be preaching to this side today. Not one amen to this side. There was always on this side. Well, I'm glad to be back. And I was 5'8" last year, and I have shrunk. I don't know what happened, but I'm still alive. I'm now 5'6". That's probably why Pastor couldn't see me back then. But I am taller than the pulpit. And I am glad to be back at Calvary here today. Yes. I told Pastor, I said, I didn't want to leave last year. But I had to go back and see Sister Vincent. By the way, I'm still married, 52 years. And so we're... I didn't say that for you to applaud, but I know who you're applauding for her because she's put up with me for 52 years. But I am glad to be back, and I appreciate this church. All my preacher buddies that we talk, you know, I got a little texting group of evangelists that we talk about. That we talk to each other about, and. I told them, I said, this is a real Assembly of God church. This section doesn't understand what I'm talking about, but you will. And I do appreciate this church very, very much. Pastor told me, he said, well, he said, I don't know how it happened, but I've got about 20-some-odd people that are going to be gone. This was yesterday, he was telling me this, and he said, tomorrow about 20, so I guess it's that section right there behind you, Pastor, that the 20-some-odd people are gone, but I tell you what, this is a good-looking crowd here today, and so you came anyway when you found out who the speaker was, so, but I want to tell you that, please, I hope, you know, I still believe this. I don't know if I said this last year. I still believe that full-time Christians like to go to church on Sunday nights. I didn't get one amen out of this section. So I guess I will be preaching to y'all today. But I'm not going to get an amen on this one because I still believe that full-time Christians are going to make the rapture of the church. Oh, I got an amen over here. All right. So be back tonight at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock tonight, because I'm not going to finish this message. I got more notes up here than an Assembly God songbook. And God added some more to it today. So I trust that you will be back and maybe... have scheduled to come back tonight. So, you know, I don't preach long. Boy, amens are becoming scarce in this place today. But I have a message that God has given me, and I want to deliver it today. How many appreciate Brother and Sister Manning today? And the family. And the family. I'm not from, well, I live in Texas. I've been in Texas for like 50-something years because my wife kidnapped me from Louisiana. And I'm from Louisiana, but I still have property there. What's left of four hurricanes. Yeah, I have nothing left. Two houses, two RVs, and a duck building, okay? I appreciate Brother and Sister Manning so much today that I count it an honor that he would call me and to come and minister in this great church. And I do mean that, that this church, thankfully, is still an Assemblies of God church that still believes in the 16 tenets of faith, and that we have a desire to live by those tenets of faith. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your millions of dollars that you have invested into this ministry. We appreciate it. I always forget where I'm going next, but I know I'm going back to Houston tomorrow. But my next assignment will be in Houston. So thank you so much for your giving, investing into this ministry. I believe that the evangelist, especially now, is a missionary to America. And we thank this church for supporting us and helping us. We are seeing revival. I believe, and it's going to come out in the message either today or tonight, that God is still saving people in America. And probably more so than ever before. And so thank you so much for your giving and helping us continue. All right. How many got your Bibles with you today? If you do, please go with me real quickly, first of all, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1 today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I've got so much to say today and tonight. This message, God woke me up about 4:30 Thursday morning and began to insert into my spirit this message. And I told Pastor yesterday that, probably this message is going to confirm some things that you've already been saying in this pulpit. And sure enough, as we were talking yesterday when he picked me up at the airport, I had to tell him, okay, don't tell me no more, because I don't want you to think that I got those thoughts from him. But the Lord spoke to me Thursday morning and said that this message would confirm some things that Pastor has instilled into your spirit, into this church. And so we're going to preach it together, okay? We're on a journey together today. So, and I told Pastor, this is probably not going to be inspirational, but it will be informational. And I want to say this, that it's going to get deep, so I hope you brought your spiritual shovels with you this morning. But I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and I want to begin reading verse number 3. I still have did I have my magnifying glass last year? Well, that's something else I've come to have now that I didn't have last year, okay? I got 4 sets of eyes here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. There is a phrase that God placed in my life, in my spirit, the last few years, and it is the changing of the guard with like faith. We need to continue to exercise the changing of the guard with like faith, and not permit a paradigm shift of change faith to be in your church. And I'm going to explain those things. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Let me back up just for a moment in verse 5. And probably, perhaps maybe, one of the most ultimate examples of the changing of the guard is what I read in verse 5 when Paul was talking to a young Pentecostal preacher by the name of Timothy and talking to him about maybe one of the most ultimate changing of the guards, like I said, of his grandmother and his mother. And then he was also saying that, or I guess he was saying, I hope so, or you better have what they had in the past. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Those are three reasons why you, as either a church attender of this Pentecostal church or a member of this Pentecostal church, these are three reasons, three good reasons why we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible says, then we shall be filled. We must desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if there's ever an hour that the church in this generation and in America needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, it is now. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Three reasons of power, to overcome the powers of darkness. To love, to have that agape love. That's one other reason why the baptism of the Holy Ghost will help us love one another, will help us love people, will help us love them enough to tell them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other reason is that I believe that this baptism of the Holy Ghost helps us to know and to keep sound doctrine inside our lives, that we'd have a sound mind and that we would have the mind of Christ and that we would continue to know what's right and what is not right. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I don't know why I want to say this, but I want to tell you something. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is an experience that God wants every believer to experience, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I've been praying, and I prayed this last Thursday morning. I've been praying that God, that you would give Calvary Assembly of God Church, every person that's within the sounds of my voice today, being in this church today, that you would have a desire to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost and to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have nothing to fear with this. You don't need to be scared. It's our helper today. Help us what? It'll help you stay saved. Now, on a day in this day and age, we need some help today. It'll help us want to be a Christian. It'll help us to overcome the powers of darkness. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For thee which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I was going to go to some other scriptures, but I'll do it later, maybe tonight. And so I want to, and I've got the title, I think they put the title up. I want to title this message, or explain to us a narrative, a true narrative, and title this message, The American and Church History 101. And this delivery is going to be a little different for me. Told Pastor that. And so perhaps maybe this is a love letter to Calvary Assembly. So I want to tell you, God is concerned about you and your families and this church. So my first opinion, which by the way, my opinions are birthed in my altar time. My first opinion today is that I believe America has been the secret mystery of God's will, in that it has been a springboard to export the gospel to the whole world. God, I want you to watch or hear my words carefully. God, I believe, sent a representation of the cross to tell the native that the eagle and the moon and the stars and the buffalo was not their God, but that Jesus Christ had died for their sins and for their life. If you believe that, say amen today. I'll never forget preaching in Maricopa, Arizona years ago. And Maricopa is the town, it's a reservation town south of Phoenix, where the sheriff put all the prisoners in pink jumpsuits. I can't remember his name. And what was it?
Joe Arpaio.
Yes, sir. That was it. Joe Arpaio. And it was in Maricopa, and I was preaching in an Assembly of God church, and there was about 50. We started on Friday night. It was a 4th of July. Matter of fact, it was a 4th of July revival. And I started on Friday night. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday night revival. And I'm preaching Friday night, and all 50 of them, if I could put it this way, sat in the middle, all 50, and literally was as quiet as a wooden totem pole. And I'm preaching my guts out that Friday night. I came back Saturday night. All 50 of them came back. They were still excited. And they sat there, and I preached my guts out. And Sunday morning, I made a statement. I'd never made it before. I just made it a while ago. But I'd never made it that statement before. And I said, you know, why God so loved the native Indian that he sent someone to tell you that the buffalo and the stars and the moon was not your God, but that Jesus Christ had died for your sins. And folks, all 50 of them stood up and scared me to death. And I thought, I wish I would have said that Friday night. But they were happy that God so loved their lives to send somebody to tell them that Jesus Christ had died for their sins. How many of you are glad today that somebody sent somebody to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, God will go to the four corners of a round world to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you of what I said a while ago. God sent a representation of the cross to tell the natives that the eagle and the moon and the stars and the buffalo was not their God, but that Jesus Christ had died for their sins and for their life. Also, God sent teachers and farmers and doctors and teachers to teach and to bless the natives how to stay alive. Now, granted, there were bad people that came across the ocean, along with thieves and murderers and non-believers who did not live God's ways. So my point being this morning, my point is this, that is God has let everyone in this world know about Jesus Christ being their Savior. Just like Satan has done for 6,000 years, is that he has tried, listen to me, he has tried to separate people from their real history and teach you to hate our history. That's what we have come to find out, that academia has been teaching this generation to hate our past history. I got news for the devil. I got news for those unbelievers today. I want to tell you, our past history, God so loved America to tell us the truth. Somebody ought to shout praise the Lord for that. I know, there are some chapters in American history that we are not proud of, but what do you expect? Human beings are not perfect. Hello? But through the grace and mercy of God, we have overcome them and we've come to a better place in society and in the United States of America. I believe our generation has entered into our season of being called for such a time as this. I want to say that again. I believe this, and you have to believe this. You have to understand that our generation, our lives today, has entered into our season of being called for such a time as this. I have come to realize something. I have come to realize that God does not force human beings to do his will or live his will. God permits good and evil to live out their lives, rather in God's will or in Satan's will. However, God places us in situations for us to make the call or do God's will or Satan's will. In other words, the reason why you're in church this morning, the reason why you come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, the reason why you go to Sunday school, the reason why you go to revivals, the reason why you go to prayer meetings, the reasons why you go to church on Wednesday night is because you want to stay saved and you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not with the Assemblies of God, but you have a relationship with the God of the Assemblies of God. And besides that, we want to be built for the storms of life. I see a number of people that reaped what they sowed in their lives. Take, for instance, the three Cajuns. I wish I had my mirror behind me. Y'all to see how y'all are looking at me. I see a number of people that prepared their lives for storms. Well, the King James Version doesn't say that they were three Cajuns, Boudreaux, Babineau, and Fontenot. But it does say they were the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they were built for a storm. You know how they were built for a storm? They were faithful. And then God's grace and mercy says to us today in the New Testament that if you're faithful over just a few things, He'll make you rulers over many things. What a deal, huh? That's better than a DQ burger deal. Just like Satan. Then you have Daniel, who was built for a storm. Prayed three times a day, and then they make a law that anybody caught praying to any god's gonna be put in the Lions Club. Daniel always wanted to be a part of the Lions Club. Prestige. Then you had Joseph, who was built for a storm. His dreams. He never forgot the dreams. He never misused the dream. He never not believe in the dreams. Then you had John on the Isle of Patmos, who was built for a storm. Then you had Esther. I believe today that you and I are living in an Esther season. As servants of Jesus Christ, we have the blessing and not the right to rebel God's will or plan for our lives. We either go with God's perfect will, or we go with God's permission and will. We make the choice. God, let me pastor two churches. Just a total of 5 years, which that was enough. But primarily, I've been an evangelist for 40-some-odd years. But both times, God let me go and pastor the first church outside of Beaumont, Texas for 2 years and brought that church from 25, which used to run 400 or 500, and they'd gone through a few storms of life, and so they had me go in there, and I brought it back up to 200, but I went in God's permissible will. I didn't go in God's perfect will, but He permitted me to go and pastor that church. And then the second church, the district put me in there, and it was another situation, down the 25, brought it back up to 200, then I went back on the field. So we are birthed into the kingdom of God for a purpose. Give me a Church of Christ amen or something. And then God leads us into His will, especially the Christian who develops a didactic servant's attitude. I know. That's a $100 word coming out of a 50-cent mouth. So let me explain that. This is really the type of servant that Pastor Rick needs in this church. It's a servant with a didactic attitude. Define it, please. Yes. Because God needs servants in this church that want to learn more about Jesus. He needs servants that want to obey the voice of God. The didactic servant is a teachable individual. It is the person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Not self-righteous, but to hunger and thirst have to write things of God. Then we need servants to have a servant's heart, especially in this day and time. But many, especially now in the last days generation, has developed a dialectic attitude. So what's the dialectic attitude? The dialectic attitude is you want to question everything. You want to debate everything. You want to question our doctrines. You want to debate our doctrines. You want to argue our doctrines. You want to change our doctrines. You want to form devil's doctrines. And probably the worst thing that's happened to our movement is the fact that we have too many that want to discontinue the apostles' doctrine. But I must remind us today that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it does not say that they continue or discontinued the apostles' doctrine. It says they continued the apostles' doctrine. So I know what you're asking now. You're asking, well, preacher, what is the apostles' doctrine? What is the apostles' doctrine in this church? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to tell you what the apostles' doctrine is today, is that Jesus Christ still saves, not the Assemblies of God, not a denomination, not a religion, but that Jesus Christ still saves and still wants to save our sons and our daughters and our children and our families and the United States of America. Amen. Secondly, God still wants to baptize us in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and all the Pentecostals said amen. And yes, if I ask for a raised hand this morning, how many of us have ever been healed? Probably all of us would stand up and say, yes, by his stripes, we are healed. I got good news for us today. You're here today and you need a healing. There is still a healer that wants to heal your life and heal your body in this service today. Oh, but I know what you're saying right now. You're saying, oh, but preacher, you're not going to tell us about the rapture of the church, are you? Because the rapture of the church hasn't taken place. But, oh, yes, I'm going to tell you about the rapture of the church. And here's why I know that the rapture of the church is about to take place. Because God has not snuck on into America. He has warned us. We have preached about it. We have taught about it. We've even sung about it, that the Lord Jesus Christ is about to return for a church that's looking for him to come back. Yes, the rapture is going to take place. You know why? Because of the signs of the times that are taking place in America in 2025. That's the apostles' doctrine. That's what you still believe. Listen. I got 4 minutes. But I'm preaching on Albuquerque time. The main purpose for God to create Adam and Eve, I'm going to close with this, if our musicians would come. The main purpose and reason for God to create Adam and Eve, listen to this now, because this applies to us now, 6,000 years later, was to fellowship with mankind and not the devil's program. Adam and Eve was told not to eat of one tree. If they did, it's in your Bible, he said they would die. Now, when I first read that, I thought, God's going to kill them. Did I tell y'all the story about me and Nancy Pelosi? No? Give me a Church of Christ amen or something. I am. But now she's got to get a ticket and stand at the back of the line. I was praying one day. I told you my opinions originate at my altars of prayer. And you know, I believe God wants us to be honest. Don't you love it when a preacher says, to be honest? Like I'm going to be dishonest? Like you want the preacher to be dishonest? So I'm praying in my prayer time. And Miss Pelosi, to be respectful, by the way, am I on Facebook? The other day, I was on Facebook, and believe it or not, I'm not on it all the time. Pastor Rick, I'm not on it all the time. You know that, don't you? But I got put in Facebook jail. Has anybody been in Facebook jail? So I don't remember saying anything bad, according to my definition. So I called one of my, well, I text my our evangelist text group, and I told him, I said, look, I've been put in the Facebook jail for 2 days. And one of our evangelist buddies who's been in it, he's been in jail, the Facebook jailhouse for, he goes, like 6 months at a time. And he texted me back and said, you was only in 2 days? He said, you only committed a misdemeanor and not a crime. And I didn't put this on Facebook, but I'm praying in my altar. I don't know if I ought to say this. I was very upset with Miss Pelosi. And I'll just put it this way. I'll kind of modify it. I'll kind of make it sound good. I told the Lord, I said, God, I don't understand why you don't get rid of her. And I didn't say it that way. I said it worse than that. And God spoke to me and said, the same reason why I didn't kill you. I said, Lord, I'm going to talk about something else. Back to God's grace and mercy just for a moment. Adam and Eve was told not to eat of one tree. If they would, they would die. But God, in the book of First and Alpha, exercised grace and mercy to Adam and Eve. Now, us golfers or duffers, any golfers? 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 No golfers in this section. Just one. Golfers, two or three. Duffers. We talked about playing golf last year, if I remember. Golfers use a terminology called mulligans. Yeah, I'm a part of the PGA. Mulligan's group. That's Preachers Golf Association. So really, the story in Genesis, God covered them up with a mulligan. In other words, it's a mulligan is a do-over. You know, you get up there and you hit that ball, and your ball goes into the pond. That's a stroke. But if you're PGA, Preachers Golf Association, and you have access to a mulligan, it's a do-over. You understand what I'm saying here today? And so really, God performs a mulligan. The story is the first indication of God's plan of salvation through a blood sacrifice. So for 4,000 years, God's plan was to substitute man's sin through an animal sacrifice until God goes to plan B 4,000 years later at a place called Calvary. And that plan was to send his only begotten son to earth to redeem man and sacrifice for man's fellowship. That's all God wants to do with us, is to have fellowship with us. Oh boy. I'm about to get into Josh's message last week now. That's why it is so important, especially in this day and time, to be faithful to Jesus Christ, to God and to Jesus Christ, and to be faithful to this church.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, you are faithful today. The plan of God was to become the greatest mulligan of all time. Since man had messed up the first birth, and God now says, let's do it over. Let's be born again, since we did it wrong the first time. And God has sent to all nations, being formed, and looks to the west of Jerusalem, a place called America. And God sends a representation of the cross to tell the natives about Jesus. And folks, next year will be 250 years, America will be 250 years old. And for 250 years, Satan has hated the United States of America because he lost another nation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to come back tonight, because I hadn't got to the good part yet. For 250 years, Satan has tried to destroy the gospel in America along with this nation, because its foundation has been the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its foundation has been Christianity, not Islam. Its constitution has been the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its success has been because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its morals has been the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its leadership has been the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its people has been the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but in God we trust, Now, for 250 years, we have marched under Calvary's banner, and because it is love divine, our republic, which we stand and we continue to march on. Listen, God has called your life for such a time as this. Did you hear me? God has called your life as an individual for such a time as this. He has called your marriage for such a time as this. He has called your families for such a time as this. He has called your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren for such a time as this. He has called your church for such a time as this. He has called the assemblies of God for such a time as this. And he has called America for such a time as this. And we're not going to back up, and we're not going to back down. We are going to step up to the plate, and we're going to be the church that God needs in Wilson, Wisconsin. And everybody said amen. Come on, sing it. Let's go. Stand to your feet. Let's sing this song. Let's praise Him one more time today.
You saw me for creation. Me in your hand.
Hey.
You spoke to the air.
Hallelujah.
My soul.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Just look before my family.
Yeah.
And carry the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulder. My soul now
rests.
Oh, yes, we stand. Hallelujah. What?
So why can't I say?
Yes, Lord. every eye closed just for a moment. None of us deserve the grace of God. None of us deserve that mulligan. But oh, thanks be to God. He's saying to every person in this building today, He's going to give you another chance. He's going to give you a do-over. He's going to give you a mulligan. Saints praying right now, every head bowed just for a moment, I want to ask this question. Is there a question mark in your soul today concerning where to spend eternity? I don't think I've ever preached my testimony, but when I walked into that Assembly God Church on July the 30th, 1975 in Houston, Texas, I didn't know you had to be saved. I thought all you had to be was religious, and I wasn't very good at that. But I didn't know you had to be born again and repent and accept Jesus as your Savior. That's really not too complicated, is it? Simple, isn't it? And we throw no condemnation to no one here today. But Pastor Rick, I've come to the place, as being an evangelist, I'm pretty desperate. I'm desperate to make sure that whoever comes to listen to me, that they would realize that they must make a decision where to spend eternity on this side of the grave. And we throw no condemnation to you today. And you may be mad at me. That's fine. But while saints are praying right now, every head bowed just for a moment, if there's a question mark in your soul today, that whether you would make it to heaven, that you would make the rapture of the church, that you would not make the rapture of the church, but you're here today and you want to make sure, and we're going to help you make sure today, because we're going to pray with you. We're all going to pray the sinner's prayer today, but I want to know if you're here today and there's a question mark about your eternity, and you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I want to make sure when I leave here today. How about this section? If you're here in this section, let's lift your hand. Let me see who you are. How about this section? Just lift your hand. How about this section? Amen. You just lift your hand. Amen, sir. Praise the Lord. Who'll be the second person here? We'll leave here knowing that they're ready for the rapture of the church. You got to stay eligible for the rapture of the church. Anybody else here today? Anybody else? I don't want to miss no one. Okay, church, will you help us pray this prayer today? Amen? You ready? Lift our hands and let's love the Lord for a minute. Right now, pray this prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Today, God, I realize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Therefore, right now, I lay all my sins, all my past on this altar at the foot of an empty cross. Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. I accept you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Jesus' name. Now, upon the authority of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, Satan. I am a child of God. I am going to heaven, and I am going to take everyone with me. In Jesus' name. Somebody praise the Lord. Pastor Rick. You got to come back for part two tonight. It's good.
Well, praise the Lord. We're glad that you were here today. I hope that you come back tonight. Notice the time, 6 o'clock. Oh, 6 o'clock. And while you're at it, why don't you invite somebody to come with you? Bring somebody back with you tonight. We'll have another great message and spend some time in God's presence and fellowshipping one with another. So you are dismissed. Have a wonderful afternoon.